This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. When filmmakers Piper Kessler and Monique Velasquez first debuted the short film Intersect in 2012, they figured a full-length film was next. But life intervened. The rigors of their day jobs and the demands of filmmaking made the task seem impossible. So they put the movie on the back burner and tried a web series instead. 2 seasons and tens of thousands of views later, the sci-fi web series called Frequency has been adapted into the duo's first film. Writer and director Piper Kessler and her partner and producer Monique Velasquez are here to tell us about the project, which is set to debut at this year's Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. Piper, Monique, welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Piper, tell us, give us a sense of the premise for Frequency.
Sense of the premise. We call it kind of a combination of Heroes, Fringe, Lost Girl, and Continuum. But the premise is that people have abilities. They can tune into a frequency, and it gives them a certain ability. We have a time traveler, a clairvoyant, a mind reader, and
a healer.
And those are the main characters. And it's also it's a love story between our clairvoyant and our mind reader. It's a sci-fi in the aspect of they have these abilities.
Where did the premise for this come from? How long had this idea of having kind of the mind abilities as a premise?
Well, I've always kind of been fascinated by people saying that they have certain abilities, and I don't necessarily believe them, but there is, I think it's one of the islands or something they discovered that there is something. People know what is happening on the other side of the island, and there's just this communication, and it's just, it's like anything else. It's just okay. It's like anything else, smell or anything else.
Right.
So I always wondered, okay, well, it kind of makes sense. Animals seem to have these senses. We've probably just cut them off. They're probably not that unusual. And I started wondering, well, how would you explain this? Because I like telling stories. And I was like, well, what if you just tuned in, being a sound person, tuned into a frequency? And
paid
sense.
A little more attention. All this stuff might
exactly.
be happening all the time, and because we don't believe in it or because there's no space for it, we just actually ignore some of the great signals we're getting.
Exactly.
And it's a love story.
And it's a love story between two women.
We're going to hear a clip right now. Do you need to set this up at all, or should we hear it and come back and talk about it?
We could set it up very quickly. This is towards about the middle of the film and the series. Claire, our clairvoyant, is questioning fate versus free will.
Here it goes.
I'm not your dream girl, and I cannot help you. And deep down, you know that.
You can't help me.
No, I can't. I don't understand you.
Are you trying to protect me?
Do you really think I'm that selfless?
Yes.
Well, you're wrong. And I think the one thing that we do have in common is that we can see our situation realistically.
Which is?
Here we go. A clip from the film Frequency that premieres this weekend at the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. The film is called Frequency. Clairvoyant, how can we not understand each other?
Yeah, exactly. And the other one is a mind reader. So really, how are we miscommunicating?
Which I went with the thing of, okay, if you're a mind reader, you might be getting things wrong just because someone's having a thought doesn't mean that you're understanding it correctly. And with the clairvoyant, I made her so that she sees things, but is that the true outcome of the situation, or is she just seeing a version of the situation?
And at some level in the story, it's seeing a multiverse into a different universe.
When did the idea tell us about the evolution of the series itself? Because at one point you did want this to be a feature film, and then it just didn't work. Tell us about the web series and sort of how that came about.
Well, we started out with the short. We were looking for a way to get back into this narrative filmmaking process. So we did the short, and the actors came along and felt like the story was part of a bigger piece, and it was. Piper is very prolific about sitting down and writing stories. So this particular story was brewing in her head. And I think with most stories, you don't want to leave out too much. So it was really a feature. Life got in the way of sort of putting together a feature because it's a long process, 2 months, 3 months, that sort of thing. And, you know, with our day jobs, we just decided, okay, we can do this in chunks. And so we had worked on a serial here in Durham called Nuestro Barrio, where it was a telenovela, educational. And so we had that model of doing a serialized drama.
Was it an easy enough thing to do to break down this feature film that you had sort of envisioned and turn it into a serial?
It was easy. And in fact, I think it might have been too easy. Uh-huh. I ended up making the episodes longer and the story and giving more detail. So the web series is actually much more detail and much longer than the film.
Well, then what about the process of putting Humpty together again?
Yeah, that was that was quite the challenge. I had 24 hours to like sit down and really focus on it and go, okay, what am I going to cut out? And we went back and forth about it. She was like, no, you can't cut out. You know? So there are actual characters that are not in the film that are throughout the web series.
That's even harder to do because they can't just show up once in the film if they've got a backstory and all of that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, we tried to use a sieve and say, okay, what is it we really want to focus in on this as a story? As a producer, I'm looking at a bigger picture. Yes, it's a romance, but I'm thinking the story is more about fate versus free will, which is a recurring thing with Piper and her writing.
What about this? Is this a genre, gay and lesbian sci-fi?
You would think, but that was one of the reasons. I mean, I really like sci-fi, but we weren't really sure if we should do the sci-fi. I can't find other web series. I'm a consumer of web series, and I was looking for stuff. I mean, I'll watch a lot of different things, and the stuff that we were finding, especially that was lesbian-based, one of the first ones was B.J. Fletcher, Private Eye, which was a Private Eye spoof, and it was a Canadian production, and that was done in 2008. There was Seeking Simone, which was just this haphazard girl trying to find someone, and it's different dates and stuff like that, and that was also Canadian. And Dr. Horrible Sing-Along, which was Neil Patrick Harris, Josh Whedon did that.
Oh, okay.
And that was a big deal because that was that was 2008 and that was when the writers went on strike.
Mm-hmm.
So web series kind of started taking a turn in 2008. And we watched that but I always kept seeing that there's a lot of lesbian gay web series because TV is not going to probably pick that up and they don't have the budget for movies, but they can do a web series. And I kept waiting on something to come out that was sci-fi. And I still haven't seen anything that's very gay. I mean, they might have a gay character.
Well, and that doesn't treat it as camp, right? I mean, because that's the one way you can do that is say, oh, this is a way to spoof the genre. But no, let's integrate this and make it, you know, something real.
Which
something
I have.
Worth watching.
We've gotten a little bit, I won't say flack, but we've gotten a little bit of, we're not getting promoted in the gay press. We are getting promoted in sci-fi. I mean, they're finding us. And the folks who are reviewing us are saying, my one complaint is, why do you have to call it a lesbian sci-fi? And I'm like, well, I want to automatically find my audience, let them know where we are, because that's how I'm finding stuff. And, you know, that's what it is. There's sci-fi people that will be conservative and be offended. They want to know what they're about to see. So,
but that objection is probably based in the fact that, look, this now normalizes things. We can do sci-fi and the couple are two women incidentally.
Yes.
Right? And that's what they're looking for, I suppose, in that critique.
Yeah. And that's the critique we get is saying, well, this could be anybody. This could be any couple. And it's like, that's great. That's awesome that you see it that way. But I'm not going to change the way I label it.
Right, because at a certain point, it's a lot of work, and you would like to, you know, be able to market, and that does, I can understand how that would help things out. And you shot a lot of this in the Triangle. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, we shot very close to our office downtown. So
in Durham.
That's right, in Durham. So we were, however far I could carry my tripod on foot is about the radius of where we shot. You'll see, you know, very close to our office.
A lot of it. Durham becomes a character for sure in the series.
So we asked the Pinhook, and the Pinhook became a very big location for us. We went and shot at Coco Cinnamon and Altered Image and the Green Room, which is very old Durham.
Yeah.
We also shot at a friend's house in Chapel Hill, which becomes a character. And we shot in Greensboro at a park because one of our actresses is actually from Greensboro.
And right now you're on YouTube.
We are on YouTube and Blip and several other, but YouTube is our biggest following.
Yep. Right. And very soon at the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival right here in Durham this weekend. Great to talk with you. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Monique and Piper dropped by to talk about their film Frequency. They are Monique Velasquez and Piper Kessler. They are the writers and producers of Frequency at the North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival this Saturday. Just ahead on the straight of things, movies on the radio. Which movie character would you most like to be? You're listening to The State of Things, North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.